You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 6:07 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Christopher DeSimone, the wonderful spinmeister. Not as in, like, you know, Jen Psaki. I'm talking about spinning the wax here for an R kind of Thursday is Tommy Callahan. Good morning, sir.
I might make more money if I was a political spin master, but
that's true.
I don't know if it'd be as much fun.
It might be.
Maybe.
Never know. Well, we'll talk about your career path in the future, and
okay,
if this hockey thing doesn't work out, we'll get you to be a political spinmeister. You can do both. Maybe you can DJ and spinmeister at the same time. A little multitask.
What if I was DJing just political tunes?
That'd be pretty limited, but
yeah, it really would. There's not much of an audience for that.
Here's the 12-inch mix of "Hail to the Chief."
It's what we call a niche.
All right, so we're doing music bumps, groups that start with R. We already have Rush, Rolling Stones, and Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then, of course, individuals whose last name starts with R. We probably should play a little Linda Ronstadt on a R Thursday here in Tucson. If you ever missed my interview I did with Linda Ronstadt about 2-3 years ago, we did a full hour together. So it's on my YouTube page at Wake Up Tucson, and it was pretty good. Yeah, she's a commie, I get it, but it was good. She's very talented, great career, diverse career of what she did. So check her out. The other artist that I did a full interview with Dave Slavin is Trevor Rabin from Yes, and a very prolific film composer. He did Armageddon, Remember the Titans, whole bunch of stuff. So that's good too. So we also have. So Margaret Coker is a reschedule. We have Ryan Larson, the intern, at 6:35, talk some sports. We have David Schweikert, 7:07. We have 7:37. I sent a clip to, it's not a guest, but I sent a clip to Tommy that is the City Council of Tucson meeting from Tuesday. And it's their discussion of replacing Durham. And it is chock full of, let's say, well, first of all, chock full of, you'll have like less respect for the morons that run this place. Number two, you will have, you'll see some good hypocrisy. You'll see Rahina shutting down the dude because he said the word "the fix is in." It's pretty hilarious. So we'll do a little cheap seats play-by-play on the city council meeting that happened on Tuesday the 23rd. And then at 8:07, we have Governor Doug Ducey making his re-debut, as we like to say. Lots of stuff. A couple of things have happened since I talked to Doug Ducey. So good to talk to Doug. And then Brian from the CBD store is going to be here at 8:35 to help Tom with his gout. Now, had a good time yesterday. I met a friend of the show, Carlos Ruiz. He really, after me hearing you talk about it, post pictures, he really wanted to go to Taco Rustico yesterday. So we went there for lunch. Got my red chili beef plate. He got the famous quesabirrias and one of the shrimp rojitos. But it was like old. It was like old and home. It was like seeing some old friends. Chris King was there. Was getting some takeout for his lovely wife and himself. We saw Hitch, the guy who takes care of the landscaping here at the industrial park. Hitch was there with a buddy having lunch. And then it was funny. I was just about to leave. Carlos runs in to get some lunch for his wife, and then I see Carlos kind of running out to the car. Like, I'm like, is everything cool? He goes, you got to come in. There's a guy who's a listener of yours that, you know, who is here because, you know, whatever. And so I met a nice gentleman yesterday, lives up in the foothills area, who came down to try out Taco Rustico for lunch, and it was great to meet him. I believe his name was Dick. Forgive me, Dick, if your name is really Jimmy, but he was great. You know, just kind of, he was very appreciative that there's, he's been in Tucson a long time, and he's very appreciative that Wake Up Tucson exists, basically saying that if you're going to listen to what's really going on locally in this town, it's Wake Up Tucson. And I said to him, I agree with you. So, you know, Mr. Humble over here, as we like to say. And of course, it was Juan, who owns Taco Rustico's, it was his birthday yesterday. So happy birthday to Juan. All right, so we got to do some Arizona GOP stuff today. That's going to happen. We're going to do teacher shortages, TUSD student numbers on what they're looking like, your tax evaluations out there. Someone else is getting in, starting to get into the vaccination world in Tucson, which this is a good thing. What else do we got to? Johnson & Johnson vaccine. We'll talk about that. What else do we got here today? Oh, we're going to talk about a poll of Democrat voters and what are their top concerns as Democrats. Here's some, I'm going to fill you in on some extra, and if they get this COVID relief bill passed, I know, quote, relief bill, there is some, we're going to give you how federal bureaucrats are getting a little extra love out of this thing, and we'll see if you think it's a good thing or a bad thing. Of course, we got some censorship stuff going on with the Democrats in the House we got to talk about. We'll do a little bit more on the COVID bill on how much pork is in it. And then there was one more thing I wanted to do locally. Oh, we'll talk about it when we come back, is the a longtime headquarters of the Ekstrom Grijalva people who have ruined this community is out of business. So we'll talk about that when we come back, and there's a hilarious line in there that we'll get to. So it's an R kind of Thursday. So a little Radiohead. Look at you. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 KVOI, The Voice. Of course, Ed Alexander was always pissed off that he would go to a U of A football game and they would do a salute to Radiohead as the halftime show, and he's like, no one wants to hear a band playing Radiohead. Well, here they are. That's a good way to start off your morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. It's our kind of Thursday. Schweikert at 7:07. Governor Ducey at 8:07. everyone said it to me overnight this morning. Rego's on the south side closed down. Okay. So if you're new to the show, why is DeSimone laughing about Rego's going down? Well, because it is the political hole of the Ekstrom Grijalva crew. Now, I know she says this is definitely one of the... This is Andy at the paper, and I like Andy. This is one of the saddest stories I've ever had to write. How important it was to the community. Well, there's plenty of family-owned Mexican restaurants in that area who will absorb the hit. And so, watching this thing, okay? So it says the property was foreclosed and sold in public auction for 194 Gs. Which isn't that much money for the property and the auction and the property and everything for 194 G's for a commercial piece of property. Let's see. He was 3 months behind mortgage payments, having to close 3 months during the pandemic, which of course is the lockdowns by his own crew. Right? You live by the Ekstrom, you die by the Ekstrom, sad to say. And the Rahina and the Raul and all that jazz. Let's see, what does he talk about here? He talks about, what do we got here? What's interesting is they said it served its last meal when private lender Patty Kuntz Kuntz took possession of the building during the early lunch service because this person successfully bid on the property at the foreclosure. It's funny. I like the idea that somehow it's, I think, Patty's problem or something like that, that he fell behind. Then, of course, they had a buffet, so that was shut down by the county regulator. You know, Huckleberry and his, you know, Huckleberry. How many times has Huckleberry eaten at Rigo's? About 58,000 times. He said he sold $65 worth of food each day. Then the county capped his capacity at 50%. He said he owned Kuntz $9,000 for the months of October through. I'm telling you something, $3,000 a month for that size restaurant is pretty cheap. In January, he owed less than $88,000 of the property's $180,000 mortgage. Let's see, what else do we got here? I feel like there's a Danny quote here. I love this. By Rigo's enthusiast in South Tucson, hosted every Wednesday. Now, this is the best one. This is the. There are so many people who have texted me about and messaged me about this Ekstrom quote. It's the best. There was never an agenda. We just sat there and BS'd, and we never talked policy issues. Basically at Rigo's. That is the most hilarious thing ever. So remember, this is also the place that hung the famous Godfather poster. And this is the one that's on my Facebook page right now. If you want me to send you what it looks like, you can email me at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. But any restaurant that puts this poster up there, I don't have too many. So remember, it's The Godfather, the final episode, Showdown at Rigo's. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll kiss the Don goodbye. Starring Dan Ekstrom as the Big Don Ekstromono, a.k.a. the Big Parmesan Cheese. Then it has a picture of Huckleberry and Congressman Pastor in the back. He passed away. Ed Pastor in their Godfather tuxedos. Okay. And literally they were telling, and it has the Pima County official seal on it. Okay. So this is what I love about this is it's the most honest expression of their governance humanly possible. They're literally telling you, we're a bunch of thugs. If you're not part of the family and you don't pay tribute, we will make your life hell. And you know something? That's what they do to this day. There's even a picture of Raul Grijalva on the top left with a machine gun. And you're sitting there going, whenever they talk about, you know, people think, oh, the gun culture and blah, blah, blah. They pass by the rest. They eat at this restaurant every day that has a picture of Raul Grijalva because with a machine gun. And you're sitting there going, Jesse Lugo, Rigo restaurant in the news closed. All the political individuals did not step up to help. Bunch of SOBs. So this whole thing about they don't talk policy at Rigo's, I've been there. Joe Higgins and I had lunch with Sharon Bronson, Ramon Valadez, and Dan Ekstrom. Guess what we talked about? Policy. And all of you out there who've had development deals through the county or you're part of the crew, you know you've been there, and all they do is talk policy. And I remember Valadez, and Andy doesn't know any better. She's a food writer, so she's going to take whatever Ekstrom writes and quote him, okay? But I'm telling you, so I remember going there with Valadez and Bronson and Higgins, and Danny Ekstrom shows up, and we're having lunch, and I remember coming back on the air, and Higgins is like, hey, Chris, How was our, and Joe will be on the show tomorrow. How was our lunch tomorrow? How was that? How'd you like the food? And I go, eh, it's mediocre Mexican food. You know, it's one of those places that puts like 4 pounds of lettuce on top of everything. You know, and just makes, you know, it's like, why did we crisp up a chimichanga if we're going to make half of it soggy by throwing a whole bunch of wet lettuce on it? That's where he goes. Okay. So, again, there's plenty of, again, it's the idea that there's plenty of other restaurants that went out, but because this was the favorite political hangout, I'm sure this is where half the redistricting gets done. When, you know, they have all these committees do all the work, and then I'm sure someone, while they're having a the extram salad is you know, writing out the redistricting. So while I feel sorry for any business owner going out of business, this guy made his deal with the devils that run this place, and their lockdowns helped close him down. So my pity level is not so high. Let's go to Bill number two. Bill, welcome to Rego's Talk. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Quick comment. In today's world of Democrat wokeness, okay, it seems like it was a very inexpensive way of getting rid of that that mural of these guys, because that mural is so, what do you want to call it, toxic in today's world.
Right.
That, you know, I mean, to spend, what, $180,000 to get rid of that thing?
Well, again, they don't care. Like, who's going to hold them accountable on the poster?
Well, at some point, right, you know, this snake comes back and bites you.
You think it's valuable investigative reporter Tim Steller's going to do it?
No, but I think when what comes around goes around. Now, it may not happen in our lifetime, but I think that was just something out there that's, you know, possibly festering, that it was an easy way to get rid of. That's just the only way I think
about it. Well, it's not a painted mural. It's a picture on the wall that they hung up. So,
No. So they could have just taken it down.
Yeah, they don't need to take it. And if there's one place that the wokeness is not going to come hit Democrats, the last place in America might be Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think they were sitting there talking politics. And open meeting laws were not violated over a taco. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I'm just, like when I was there, that's all we did was talk politics.
It's like, how stupid do they think we are? Apparently, pretty stupid.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't they think that?
Well, they've been getting away with it for 30 years or more, so I guess we're proving them.
Well,
right.
And the other thing that's so great about the poster, right, is it has all cute little names and sayings for all the supervisors at the time who were part of the crew, and part of that is Ray Carroll's on there.
Oh yeah, and the machine gun. Think about it.
I'm just like I said, if there was anyone a Republican who used any sort of imagery holding a machine gun.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They would go insane. But Raul Grijalva holds a machine gun. That's great.
You know, you'd think after the Gabby Giffords shooting, they would have at least taken that thing down, but they didn't. So.
No. Raul's such a pure spirit.
Yeah, well, it's like a two-tiered thing. It's what's good for them, maybe not good for you.
Well, it's one of the pillars of Tucson, Arizona, that dynamic, my friend.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
You are, amen. So, all right, we're going to go to break. We got news, and then we got the Bloomberg kids, and then I assume Dr. Larson's somewhere on the phone. So we'll talk to Ryan Larson, the sports intern, and then we have Schweikert, and then we have at 8:07 Governor Doug Ducey. Wake up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Now, we in the old days when we used to do our trips to, and this is Ted suggested this song, we used to have our playlist for the show before Joe and I would disappear for 4 days. And so this was always on there. Also, Joe Knows How to Live, of course, by Eddie Raven. But maybe we should just do one of those trips, just one of those Mexican playlists, just to make it feel like we're, you know, going to go to the beaches of Mexico soon. Bev from Catalina, the food at Rego's isn't very good either. It's true. I remember saying that on the air, and Ramon Valadez protested, going, "What do you mean?" There's like nine other places that were better than Rigo's on the south side. I think it was just kind of cheap and convenient for people. Also, before we get to Larson, we have a... Hold on. Let me have a sip of coffee. I don't know what's going on. First, the jacket's fixed. Hold on. Filthy pirate. All right, now I'm back. We have a party coming up on Tuesday. Starts at 5 p.m. You guys have been pretty good about RSVPs so far, so keep them coming at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. We'll be outside at St. Philip's Plaza. 5 p.m. start. Live music starts at 6 p.m. All right, let's go to the phones. Ryan Larson calling up from pretending to matriculate at the University of Utah. Ryan, good morning.
Morning, Chris. I'm not pretending to matriculate. I'm definitely doing it, and I still have never used that word in a sentence, but I appreciate you always using it.
Well, I want you to use matriculate and masticate before the month's over, okay?
I don't think I can say that word on air.
What? If your mom and dad are listening right now, I don't want you to use masticate. So let's start off with El Tigre, Tiger Woods. He is a, you know, I was listening to my Talk Sport from London this morning doing my soccer stuff. And, you know, everyone's all concerned, you know, in England about Tiger Woods and what happened to him because golf's huge, huge in England, of course. What exactly happened to this guy? We know that they're saying there was no drugs or alcohol, but give us the details of what, his car accident in California.
Right, so Tiger was in a one-person car accident in L.A. on Tuesday, and it basically what happened is his car hit a median. He was just on a road by himself. There weren't really any cars around. His car hit a median, and then swerved across two other lanes and then hit a curb and then did a couple of rolls and hit a tree. And when authorities arrived on the scene, they found Tiger there, and there was a lot of misinformation when the accident first happened on Tuesday about what state Tiger was in when the authorities found him. Some said that they had to use the jaws of life to pry him out of the car. Some said they just pulled him out through the windshield. Whatever it was a bad accident. And Tiger had to go to the hospital because he suffered multiple fractures to his right leg. And they put him in surgery. They put a rod in his tibia. There were some screws and some pins put into his foot. It was a very serious leg injury to Tiger. And at this point, he's responsive. He's fine. And authorities have continued to say that there was no drugs, there's no alcohol involved whatsoever in the crash. And it was just just driver error, essentially. The authorities have said that on that road that Tiger had his accident on, that people regularly like to go 80 miles an hour because it's kind of a downhill stretch, even though the speed limit is only 45. So it's potential that Tiger just lost control of the car. But whatever it may be, he's awake now, and in the most broad sense, he is fine. But he's going to be recovering for a while from these leg injuries. And it's another element to the Tiger Woods story that just has really been a roller coaster for the last 15 years or so, with everything that Tiger has gone through, from the highs of winning the Masters to the lows that we have now with his DUI in 2017, and now this accident that we don't even know if he's going to be able to play golf again.
Now, I take issue with how you said that he had to go through the lows. Most of the lows he created himself.
Well, yeah, they were self-inflicted for sure, but at the same time, Tiger Woods has had, at times he's been one of the biggest villains in sports, especially when this all first started to fall apart back in 2013. And he's also had one of the greatest redemption stories in sports that we've seen in the last decade or so with his win of the Masters, when he just wanted to win a tournament for his kids, being able to make a comeback from all the injuries that he's had. And now he's got another mountain to climb if he's going to be playing any more competitive golf, which that even remains to be seen if he's going to do that.
You know, after the whole thing came about that he basically had a buddy of his that he from Stanford who he hired to be basically his travel agent for booty calls around the country. I mean, the guy was like a full-time meeting planner for booty calls. At this point, I was literally done with Tiger Woods. So I know this is a big story.
There was a time where I was done with Tiger Woods too, but I will defend him again. I'm happy to see where he had gotten to in his life. There was a time where I wanted him to never win a tournament again, and that has completely switched as I've watched his attitude and his actions, both on and off the course, change. And just what he seems to prioritize now is a lot less being just the best golfer who gets the most booty, and now being the golfer who is also capable of helping to raise his kids. And I've been happy to see where Tiger's at, and I have no problem rooting for him anymore. And I hope he's able to, if not make a comeback in golf, at least get back to living a healthy and somewhat normal life after this accident.
Tell me about J.J. Watt. Do we got a football team for this guy yet?
We don't have a football team for him yet. Apparently, he's gotten multiple offers that are upwards of $16 million a year.
Yikes.
He tweeted out that free agency is wild, which essentially it sounds like he has just been getting tons and tons of interest from teams, tons and tons of calls. There's just conspiracy theories going around about what team he's going to sign with, but expect him to get a multi-year deal worth, I would say, around $15 or $16 million a year would probably be a pretty good estimate of what we're looking at. And it seems like the team with the most interest right now is the Cleveland Browns. They have for sure submitted an offer to Watt, and other teams like the Steelers and the Titans and the Bills are probably the teams that have shown the most interest
right
now.
They still play football, the Bills? Oh, sorry.
The Bills, the AFC Conference Championship appearing Bills.
I remember.
Just need some defensive line help.
I think Frank Reich's the quarterback, isn't he? Right now,
Frank once upon a time,
the Colts head coach.
Oh, that's right. how about my Packers? Tell me about my Packers. They got a shot here.
I mean, the Packers have a shot. They when it was first announced that Watt was being released by the Texans, he certainly seemed like a natural fit to the Packers. Just growing up in Wisconsin, and the Packers need some defensive line help, but the Packers have been one of the teams that seemed less frequently mentioned in the Watt sweepstakes as it continues to go along. There's certainly a shot, but as of right now, I'm not seeing that as much as I'm seeing definitely the Browns, the Steelers, and the Bills are just the biggest names that keep coming up over and over again as the ones pursuing Watt the hardest.
You figured signing J.J. Watt could be a sign for the Packers to Aaron Rodgers that they actually might be serious about stuff.
I think Rodgers doesn't care one bit what they do on the defensive side of the ball. They've been drafting first-round defensive guys for Rodgers' entire career. I think he wants to see some offensive players to prove that the Packers are serious about helping him personally out rather than just continuing to try and build a defense.
So he needs receivers is what you're telling me still to this day.
I mean, he has Davante Adams, who is one of the three best receivers in the NFL right now. I don't know if he needs a ton of receiver help, but offensive line is always good. I don't think Rodgers would complain if the Packers went out and either signed a good receiver or started to draft offensive guys in the early rounds. But, you know, for as bad as Rodgers' situation may be, or he feels that it is right now, it could be worse. He could be Deshaun Watson. He could be Russell Wilson right now, and then he'd just be completely miserable.
Tell me about spring training baseball. Now that we've had another week since the last time we talked about it, what's that looking like right now?
It's looking like we're still proceeding as normal. Baseball for different teams are taking different strategies going into spring training. With some teams in the Cactus League or the Grapefruit League going as high as 20% attendance, trying to get fans in. Some teams will be a little more cautious early on, especially depending on the state that they actually play their home games in. If that state is a lot slower with COVID restrictions, then that team is likely to not have as many fans at their spring training games. But spring training is a good moneymaker for some of these teams. It's a good moneymaker for the community. So they're going to be pressing forward, trying to get as many fans into the stands as possible. And there haven't been any alterations to the schedule right now. It's proceeding somewhat like a normal season, outside of the fact that we still have a pandemic going on that all these teams have to deal with.
Tell me about, so I saw that the New Mexico State football actually played a football game in February last Saturday. Are anyone else doing this kind of weird kind of spring season just to kind of make up for lost seasons in the fall?
Yeah, so if you're a football addict, there are football games that are going to be played going forward for the next couple of months. that New Mexico State plays in the WAC, or is an independent but plays WAC FCS games. And so there's a lot of FCS teams that are playing their football season in the spring this year. And that is the case for almost every FCS conference except for the Ivy League, which has opted out of football completely, and then various FCS teams that have just independently of their conference decided to not play football. But we have a lot of FCS football. They're doing an eight-week schedule. All these teams are going to get to play eight games, and then they're also going to do the regular FCS playoffs, which is far different from what the FBS does with the college football playoff. The FCS playoffs, they have 16 teams that play a single elimination schedule. It's really good. It's a really fun tournament that they do. And so we're going to have a lot of FCS football games. You can just pick an FCS team that you want to root for and bandwagon them for the spring season, because this is just a one-time thing. The FCS is planning on going back to the fall college football season next year. But for now, if you need some spring football, we got lots of FCS games to watch.
Well, again, I just noticed my Lumberjacks, they start this Saturday. They have a game against Southern Utah. And they played last Saturday, but they got at least seven games, it looks like, they're going to play through April 10th. So what the heck? Better than watching the NBA or NHL.
The NBA is fun right now. The Utah Jazz are the best team in the NBA, Chris. You're missing out right now.
How's John Stockton doing? That's the last time I watched a Utah Jazz game.
It's pronounced Donovan Mitchell is the best player in the Jazz.
How about Karl Malone? What's he doing?
He owns a bunch of car dealerships in Utah.
True.
I think that's what he's doing mainly.
Now, I know no one cares about Pac-12 basketball anymore because the Cats are self-imposed with their no postseason, but in less than a minute and 23 seconds, tell me about Pac-12 basketball right now.
USC is the only Pac-12 team that's ranked right now. They're the number 19 team in the country. UCLA and Colorado are likely locks to make the NCAA tournament, and then Oregon and Stanford are on the bubble. The Pac-12 is still going to have a Pac-12 tournament in March, so that's something for U of A to look forward to. Even if they're not going to play in the NCAA tournament, they can at least try and make a run in the Pac-12 tournament. And so that's where we're standing. The rest of the Pac-12 is very bad.
And that's Vegas and all at the MGM, like always?
Still in Vegas like usual. I think there will be limited fans allowed in attendance, but they're still making final decisions on that.
All right. Check out what's your Twitter handle? We haven't given out your Twitter handle in a while.
Ryan and Larson. I haven't tweeted lately, so I probably won't be that interesting.
Well, if you want to see what movie Ryan watched in 2017 when he was still going to high school, check out whatever he just said.
I graduated in 2015, Chris. Thank you.
Ryan, good work as always, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Chris. You too.
That's our unpaid sports intern, Ryan Larson. I have a new intern that's coming up in March. We'll be telling you about. She'll be amazing, I think, when she gets here. So, Christy Simone, Tom Callahan. It's my boy Trevor Rabin. Yes, guitarist, composer. Wake Up Tucson guest. I'm going to be quiet and shut up. All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Christopher D. Simone and you. Tomorrow will be a busy show also. Wendell from Arc Point Labs. We have Chef Chic Wendy Gauthier, the sorceress, as we like to call her. She'll be here at 7:07, then followed by Congressman Andy Biggs, then followed by Frank Antonori, and then Higgins will be there for most of it. So tomorrow will be the super terrific Dean Martin Celebrity Roast. Literally, like you wouldn't believe. Rich Little and everybody. Now, Kelly Ward, Kelly with an I, because I don't give a damn if you keep bothering me. Well, actually, she does. So this is from Lori over at the Arizona Daily Independent. So I got this letter because Bill Beard's on it. He's one of the plaintiffs. The Tim Lasota, the lawyer. And the headline is Arizona Republican Party may be headed to court to stop election audit. After months as plaintiffs in lawsuits attempting to force Arizona election officials and county supervisors to submit to public audits and recounts, Chairman Kelly with an I and the AZGOP now find themselves facing nearly identical legal action from Republican state committeemen if they continue to obstruct an audit or recount of the January election that saw Ward reelected to another two-year term. A letter from former AZGOP counsel Timothy Lasota informed the party that a lawsuit would be filed if they continue to stonewall the election challenges that were filed in the days following the election. Quote, if the state party does not agree to a full, transparent, and audible recount of all offices elected on January 23rd, as described above, one thing will happen and another thing will likely happen. I will proceed to court to vindicate Mr. Beard and Dr. Dowling's rights and understand that various other parties are planning to seek Ms. Ward's removal as state party chair via a call for a special meeting from a requisite number of state party committeemen, unquote, read Lasota's letter. In comments made to the Arizona Republic, AZGOP's current attorney, Jack Weilenchick, dismissed the request and claimed that neither Ward or party officials have had the authority to perform an audit without a vote of their executive committee. And he painted Kelly Ward as a Joe Biden-type winner, powerless to do anything to prove her own victory was legitimate, even though it was her crew who kind of ran the election. Weilenchick told the Arizona Republic, quote, it's like asking Joe Biden or Merrick Garland to do the same kind of recount of the November election. They don't have that kind of power, unquote. Now, I don't like that she used an unnamed GOP state committeeman that said hogwash. Quote, this is in our bylaw and chairman doesn't need to be told to follow the bylaws by the executive committee. She is required to follow the bylaws regardless what the executive committee says, unquote. The AZGOP bylaws contain a 10-day window for such election challenges, and according to the demand letter, several committeemen who asked for audits or recounts in the days after were told that they were well within the 10-day window and that the audit would be forthcoming. All right. Kelly with an I. You refuse to come on my show. I've asked you nicely. I get it. You hate my guts. Get on board. That's okay, Kelly. I guess you hating me, I'll just put that in my, this is my crew of people that it's okay to be hated by. Kelly Ward joins Raul Grijalva, Dan Ekstrom, Sharon Bronson crew that hates DeSimone. Get in line, as we like to say. Now, Kelly, your ego is absolutely amazing. And when you say, well, don't believe what the Arizona Republic writes and blah, blah, blah. And there's some truth to that. But perception is reality. Yes, should you keep pushing on all of this election stuff to make sure elections are right? Yes. But the idea that you say, well, I don't have the power to do that. Just do it. Why is this so hard, Kelly? Just freaking do it. Have the committeemen sit down with you and go through the votes. And if you won, you freaking won and you can put it to bed. But the idea that you are literally saying, well, I can't do that. I don't have the power to do that. It just makes the whole Republican Party in Arizona look like a bunch of jackasses. There are parties right now. There are LDs in Southern Arizona working their tails off right now. Committee people who are coming out of the woodwork that we thought were going to go away, but they're somehow increasing. Right? We have candidates just opening my mouth in the last 6 weeks. I have four amazing candidates that are Republicans that have never run for something that are going to run for something. And so we have a lot of momentum going on in the grassroots. And when you sit there and go, I can't do that. I don't need to do that. And your big thing is election integrity. I don't know if you get this, Kelly. Perception's reality. You make anything with an R behind their name look like a bunch of jackasses. So act like a damn adult. Sit down with the committee and go through all the damn ballots and how it went happen. Why is this so hard, Kelly? Your ego is just... The sin of pride is absolutely astounding. Schweikert coming up next.